All right. Hello and welcome everyone to the August 6th, 2024 regular Board of Fire Commissioners meeting for East County Fire and Rescue here at Station 91 and online. And if I may, I would ask Captain Troutman, retired, to lead us in the flag salute tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you very much. First order of business is a retirement presentation for Captain James Troutman.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, what do you think? Yeah, we can. Sure, so that people out there in Zoom land can see you. Okay, well, this is somewhat belated. This is quite a project getting this produced. Shadow Box with your badge, recognizing your 15 years of service to the district, and our thanks for your good work.
Thank you.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yay.
Thank you. Well. Hopefully tonight's a good night for the district.
Let's hope.
We'll come with you too.
Oh yeah, of course.
We want commissioner's picture.
Yeah, okay.
Even though
it's
only four. Come on.
I can always Photoshop Commissioner Taggart in.
There you go.
Give it Zoom. There.
All right.
Thank you
guys.
I appreciate this.
Thank you.
Slide.
Thank you.
Catch
you later.
Damn.
Thanks, Chief. Good work.
Good
to see you.
Made it. She got work late.
James Todd said he wanted to be here tonight, but he's out of town.
He is. He's a bear leg.
Yeah. Good. He said if he could, he would be.
So. All right.
Good night.
Sneak out so I can talk to my buddies here.
All right.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
The best.
Yes.
All right. Any agenda adjustments from the board? No. All right. Hearing none, I would call for a motion to approve the agenda and consent agenda.
I think you did it. Second.
All right, we have a motion from Commissioner Taggart, second from Commissioner Martin. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Who seconded?
Me.
Martin. All right, and motion carries unanimously. All right, first opportunity for public input. If anyone online or in the room would like to give input, you can go ahead now or there'll be a chance later in the meeting. All right, hearing none, looks like no correspondence tonight, so staff reports, starting with Chief Harden.
Okay. Page 19.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So, in July, we responded to 117 calls for service. That was our busiest month so far this year. Not the busiest July we ever had. We were a little busier back in 2020, but definitely the busiest months since then and the busiest month this year. Number of fire incidents, majority of those were illegal burns and things like that, but as I'll mention in a little bit, one of them was a rather significant residential fire. On July 5th at 15:32, we responded to a residential fire at 27801 Northeast 66th Way. This incident became the largest structure fire that the district responded to in recent history, involving an 8,800 square foot single family home. So this house was bigger than most of the commercial properties in our district. First arriving units encountered defensive fire conditions with substantial involvement of the structure. and implemented a strategy to confine the fire to the building of origin, protecting adjacent structures and wildland. Resources committed to the incident included from ECFR, an engine, two water tenders, and a chief officer, two engines and a chief officer from Camas Washougal Fire Department, an engine, water tender, and chief officer from Vancouver, a water tender from Skamania County Fire District 4, and two engines and a supervisor from the Washington Department of Natural Resources. Challenges encountered in this incident included a gate to the community that delayed access to the narrow private road with limited turnaround areas that complicated establishing and maintaining a continuous water supply using water tenders. But a solid job by all. DNR was very appreciative of us not allowing it to become their problem. And other residents of the community were also very, very pleased that that the fire did not extend beyond the building that was involved when we arrived. In staffing and deployment during the month of July, we had a 90th percentile shift staffing of three during the day and three at night. Station 94 was unstaffed five times for a full shift, and as such, availability for response from the station was 83.87%. We've got a number of members that are out on paid family medical leave due to birth of children, and it appears that we will have some more before we're done, not due to children, but some other reasons. Well, we don't know. There could be more children. That's quite possible. So our Station 94 availability was trending up, and then in June it trended down just a little bit, and then down a little bit further in July. I anticipate that during the months of August and September we may see a similar pattern because of the number of people that are out on paid family medical leave as well as the normal summertime vacations and things like that. During the month of July, three incidents were impacted by a lack of staffing at Station 94. Two priority three calls and one priority two chest pain call, all of which were handled with an extended response time by Camas Washougal engines 43 or 44. In addition to our full and part-time staffing, our volunteer members worked 23 shifts during the day and four shifts at night, a total of 324 hours of service to the community. Shift reports, A shift and training this month included EMS OTEP, focused on trauma, bleeding control, life flight landing zone operations. Fire training focused on wildland firefighting and rope rescue. In addition, members completed four tactical decision simulations for initial incident commander and one for the first arriving command officer. Volunteer firefighter 2023 and 2024 cohorts worked on fire dynamics, personal protective equipment donning, host deployment, hazmat skills, and our water tender operators reviewed water tender operations. B shift in facilities and community risk reduction. Captain Soren Florence continued with minor facilities maintenance projects and obtaining estimates for potential capital facilities maintenance project that will be needed over the next several years. That's proved to be a bit more of a challenge than we thought. Trying to find people that are willing to do the work that we need done is sometimes a bit of a challenge, but he's keeping after it. In addition, he facilitated duty crews, noxious weed removal and vegetation cutting in the stormwater retention pond at Station 93. We had a visit from the county inspector and they said, oh, you have tansy ragwort all over the retention pond. You need to do something about that. So Captain Sorensen got right after it. Within 2 days, he had it cut and bagged and in the rubbish as he was directed. All of the grass was cut. He's going to make another pass through that before the inspector comes back later in August. And then he has the retention pond out here on his list of things to do. So he's getting after it. Work on the Station 93 burn prop has been delayed due to firefighter Ryan Grable being on PFML. Items identified in the facilities assessment are currently in progress by the crews. Likely will take several more months to complete, but every week that goes by, more things get crossed off the list. Cody has said, don't erase the list. We want to be able to look at it and say, look at all the stuff we've got done. So they've been getting after it. C-shift, apparatus and equipment. We placed the 8-bending King VHF programmable radios in service on the engine squads and command vehicles. These radios are programmed to provide communications with DNR, ground and air assets. One of the other things that I didn't put in a report that may have mentioned it well, I may have mentioned this last month, but I completed an online workshop with DNR that provides us the ability to call in aircraft for incidents that occurred within the district on DNR's time. In the past, if you called it, you paid for it. And there was legislation that was passed that established funds for DNR. As long as you've been through the training, you can call for air assets within your own district on DNR's time. And so that's a pretty useful capability to be able to get that started. I mean, we generally get a DNR supervisor pretty quick, but depending upon where the problem is, that would be very helpful. Now, the downside is if it was where Nikia Creek is, well, no, that's not our area. So we can do that, but we can provide that update to DNR and they can make that happen. And with these new radios, we have the ability to talk to the aircraft, which we didn't have before. Annual service on the district's breeding air compressor has been completed. Apparatus maintenance and repairs include a repair of leaks in the tank filled piping and water tender 93. And we'll pass this around. This is the ongoing challenges that we're dealing with old apparatus. Chief Jacobs can speak to that. He's the one that extracted that from its resting place. Engine 94 experienced a catastrophic failure of a valve controller on its tank, the pump valve, preventing water from use of water from the apparatus tank. Fortunately, that was discovered during rig checks in the morning and not in front of somebody's house while it was on fire. Unfortunately, the valve and the valve controller is obsolete, repair parts unavailable. So that means that we have to replace it with a new one. Estimated cost for the parts is $4,500. So ongoing struggles with that. Programs and projects. Part-time firefighter Ethan Gilbert, who just
He went to 94.
So he just slunk out of here to go to 94. He's given us notice that he's resigning to accept a position with American Medical Response to pursue certification as a paramedic. Volunteer firefighter Mia Santander has been promoted to part-time firefighter effective August 9th, maintaining our part-time staffing level of 4 personnel. In grants, in June, Captain Brass submitted a $24,000 grant request to the Leary Foundation for fire hose replacement. No timeline on that grant. Their timeline was ambiguous, but okay, well, it's in. We have 3 grant applications submitted to Department of Homeland Security under the AFG, SAFER, and FPNS grant programs totaling $1,579,313. AFG and SAFER have begun making awards. We anticipate a decision on these grants prior to the end of September because that's when they have to have it done by. No news yet. So we're watching the email every day. Diesel exhaust extraction systems installation is complete. Captain Sorensen is working with Plymouth on a short punch list of corrections. Levy lid lift. We held question and answer sessions on the 18th and the 27th. In addition, our newsletter went out to the mailhouse and was received by households within the district in the last week of July. Of the 2 sessions, we had 2 citizens at one and 1 citizen at the second. All of the citizens that attended happened to be elected officials of the district. But nonetheless, we had an opportunity for citizen participation. And I did get to deliver my presentation the last time because Commissioner Seed said he wanted to hear it. So I get after it. As I had mentioned to the board previously, I've been assisting Gresham Fire Department in a serious injury investigation. The good news on that front is firefighter Spencer Tejedas is out of intensive care back in the burn unit. They had had a high-tech measurement of the building to establish a floor plan and so forth by the Oregon State Police using some sort of a laser system and so forth, and they managed to misplace 4 feet of the building. So I went over the tape measure and measured the building and found the missing 4 feet and put it back where it belonged. So that's done, and the building dimensions as well as information on the fuel packages within the building was sent to UL to see if they are able to generate a computational fluid dynamics model of the fire, and then we can see how well that matches up to the events that occurred. My fire behavior analysis is pretty much done. I'm now reviewing the operations analysis that Portland and Gresham Battalion Chief did in providing my input on that. And timeline is complete. And the next piece that I'm working on is an analysis of decisions made by the Engine 31 and Rescue 31 folks. And so I've been kind of corresponding back and forth with cognitive psychologist, Gary Klein, who's done a lot of research in that area on decision making and sense making and so forth. And I've been reading a lot, and it's making my brain hurt, but it's good. So that will be probably my kind of my last piece of it, unless the fire chief comes up with something else that he wants done, which he alluded to in our last. Working group, the fire chief said, oh, there's another thing that's going to follow this. And I had previously done an organizational culture study of Gresham Fire back 16 years ago when I worked there. I did share that with the training chief, which he thought was very interesting because he said, hey, you know where I could get a copy of that? I said, oh, yeah, it's right here. And shot that to him, so I don't know if, I suspect that may be an element of what they want to look at, but I don't know if they'll be a part of that or not. But anyway, so that's what's going on in my world.
Okay. Right, thanks, Chief.
Questions?
Yeah, any questions from the board? On the diesel exhaust extraction system, is it just kind of small fiddly bits that are being corrected?
Yeah, there were some adjustments. There's a couple of cover plates that were loose. There was a few things on the attachments to rigs and so forth that we were less than excited about.
Okay.
And so he's getting them to tweak that up. And their guy was on vacation because he'd been here for a month and a half, and so he decided to take a couple of weeks off. And so once he gets back, we'll be getting them to have a lot. But it seems to be, I mean, everything is working.
Yeah.
These are small things.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. If there's no more questions from the board, thank you, Chief. Assistant Chief Jacobs.
Okay. My report tonight is on page 24. And as we mentioned before, there's no DOC shooting in July. The July EST attendant training was on the 23rd. August DOC training will be on the 13th here at Station 91 at 7. And August EST attendant training will be on the 27th at Station 93 at 7. I might note that one of the new volunteers that we have is also going to be working closely with the attendant group. So that will get one of our numbers back.
And he has horses.
Are you left?
I'm hoping we don't need horses.
No, that was for Commissioner Martin.
That was just for me.
Thank you.
It's a qualification for
volunteering
to have horses.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Tender 93, which was formerly Tender 95, the pump's been repaired. It's back in service. Still needs a tank to pump valve. We believe we've located the correct valve. We're waiting for a price on it to make sure it doesn't scare us to death. If it does, we'll have to figure out a plan B. But as it is with that tank to pump valve, it would not pass a pump test, which our goal for this year is to have everything pass a pump test.
Yeah.
Engine 94 is in for repair now. The chief mentioned earlier the tank to pump valve failure on that. Thank God it wasn't a fire, is all I can say, because we couldn't have got a cup of water out of it.
Okay.
And that's what I have on that for tonight.
All right. Any questions from the board? No. Oh, all right. Hearing none, anything on Volunteer Firefighters
Nothing
Association?
Nothing to do with that.
Okay. And then Safety Committee?
Back to page 24. Our last Safety Committee meeting was on the 23rd of July. Next Safety Committee meeting will be on the 25th of September here at Station 91 at 7:30. Once again, there's no reported accidents or incidents known to me since your last board meeting.
All right. Thank you very much.
And I think it's very, very commendable that we got through that great big house fire without somebody having some kind of an issue.
Yeah.
Especially in hot weather like we've had.
Yeah.
And then bricks broke.
And yeah, nothing broke from that either. To my knowledge, that's the biggest fire that we've ever had inside our district in the 30 some years that I've been here. I think the last previous big one was like 6,500.
Okay. Yeah, and we
that
were.
That was a number of years ago.
And we were going up there for a few days to make sure that there was no hot spots.
Yeah, the challenge with that, I know the neighbors were a little bit, we gave a briefing before we left. We said, it's going to continue to smoke. You may see some little flames. Just call us when we're back. Because there were structural steel and concrete elements in the building that fell down on top of burning stuff. And we didn't have the ability to move them. And so it was like, okay, well, if we wait, it'll go out. And so we would go back and dump 1,000 gallons of water on it, and then we'd go back and dump another 1,000 gallons of water. And that continued for a couple of days. The county fire marshal was unable to fully complete their investigation because they didn't have the ability to move this stuff. So they were hoping that the homeowners insurance company would want to know the cause of the fire bad enough to pony up to get heavy equipment to start to disentangle it. But their rough estimate was that it either came from outside or it started in the garage. And there was some reports that there had been some individuals in the area that had been shooting off fireworks the night before, and there was some concern that that may have been the cause, in which case it would have been the largest fireworks related event in the county, in recent history. Mm.
Right.
But we don't know that definitively. It could have started in the garage for some other cause.
Yeah, the old linseed oil combustion or something like that.
Don't have any specific cause from the fire marshal.
You said the owners were out of town
at
the time. So they weren't even in town on the 4th? They were in town.
No. Now, they get notified by their alarm company that they had a waterfall alarm because they had a residential sprinkler system. But if the fire started outside, that tends to not... That's not that effective. I mean, if it's inside, then it has some impact. But again, residential sprinklers are predominantly to protect the people, not to save the building. Again, our first report was from somebody over on Prune Hill that said, hey, there's a column of smoke at 53rd and Bradford. And we started heading in that direction. We got as far as the Fern Prairie Market, and it got upgraded to residential fire.
All right. Thanks, Chief. Thank you, Assistant Chief. Fire District Business. Item 1 is discuss addition of Union 76 fuel cards.
Yeah, the Fern Prairie Market decided that they weren't going to be a Chevron station anymore. So we have opened a commercial fuel account with Union 76 so that we continue to get fuel at the Fern Prairie Market.
Okay.
Just wanted to work.
It's not really a discussion. It's just
being
informed.
No, it's just like information. In case you had any questions.
Okay.
Allegedly, the fuel pumps work much more reliably than they did before.
So.
Every other time you would go there, they were really slow, or they wouldn't give you a receipt, or
always bad.
They're all new pumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they still have the ethanol-free fuel for chainsaws?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's all I need to know.
That's what matters
it
to me.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Chief. Next up, we have Resolution 351-08062024, authorizing the transfer of funds from the general fund contingency to the general fund.
So this formalizes the vote that the board took at the last meeting for the contingency transfer. Next is for the budget amendment, because we should have prepared and delivered resolutions to the board, and we didn't. So this is a do-over.
Okay.
On me.
All right. We've already discussed this at some length, but are there any questions or discussion from the board? No? All right. I would call for a motion to approve Resolution 351-08062024.
So made.
Second.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Commissioner Addis has the motion. Commissioner Hoffmaster, after some discussion, has the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next up is Resolution 352-0806-2024. And this is amending the district's 2024 operating budget. Starting on page 27, there is an explanation that we have gone over also at length and are including at our last staff commission workshop. So anything else we need to know, Chief, or is this part of that do-over? All right. Any further questions or discussion from the board? Okay, hearing none, I would call for a motion for Resolution 352-0806-2024.
So moved.
We'll give Commissioner Martin the motion, and Commissioner Taggart has the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. And then finally, we have Resolution 353-0806-2024, surplus equipment. And let's see, that is page 35 with the exhibit on page 36.
Old computers and AV equipment. Captain Crash has not gotten anything declared surplus in several months, and he was beginning to feel anxious. He discovered that we had several old computers and a monitor and a VHS player in the conference room that were no longer operational. So he said, we'll get rid of this.
It was his time to shine. All right. Any questions, comments from the board? Nope. All right. Call for a motion on Resolution 353-0806-2024.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Commissioner Martin has the motion. Commissioner Addis has the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. And that is it for Fire District business. So next up we have committee meetings. We had our City of Camas meeting was held on the 23rd of July with myself and Commissioner Martin, as well as Chief Harton. And then yesterday with City of Washougal, with the same three of us. So I'll start with Commissioner Martin. Did you have anything you wanted to talk about from either the meeting with Camas or the meeting with Washougal city officials?
We got topics from the City of Camas. City of Washougal was so chill. We just it was great. Anyway, so the Camas meeting, we shared a lot of our information with them. Discussed the lid lift, current state of our district, the fire Hancock, the big one, 4th of July, and the 5th of July. What was going on there? The need for the 60+1% for their facilities vote, and where it's going is the old bank across the street, which I don't know if people know where that location is, but I do. I'm sure you do. Yeah. And then the RFA and their committee formation and all of the process that they're going through right now, and the mayor seemed tense about it. Says it's a lot of work and a lot of things combined at the same time with their bond votes and then RFA on the heels of that, so they're aware of that. They have a new engine, Station 42. We're going to go look at that. I don't know if you got a chance to go look at it. I didn't go. I forgot about it. Walked out the door and popped my head. And then they discussed a little bit about the urban interface. There was a conversation about that.
Yeah.
In and out of the city and how that all works. So those are the main topics.
Yeah, it's good notes. they were very interested in some of our business, and in particular, like what were our priorities if the lid lift that is being voted upon today passes. So they were definitely interested in that, and there was some discussion about us ordering an engine and 94 having continued trouble and the lead time on that, but there's a lot of moving parts for them, and I think this is probably also covers the meeting with Washougal yesterday, is that they're having to figure out what the RFA is going to look like, and so they've got a few working groups that are working on that, and then they have to get it through once those working groups have settled on structure and details, then they have to get that through both city councils and then put that before the voters, probably next April. So given the timing on when they would need to have approvals, they're actually on a fairly tight timeline, and I think it was November is when the working groups are probably going to be reporting to the two city councils. So yeah, should be interesting, and they're all you know, they're very hopeful and I think a little trepidatious about whether or not the bonds for stations will pass, because 60% vote is necessary. So it's a good size hurdle. No organized opposition to that in Washougal. There was a little bit of organized opposition in Camas, and it sounded like it was of the new station is, the old station is fine variety. You don't need it without any supporting details, kind of thing. But yeah, it was Washougal is, I think, you know, their plan A seems to be an RFA, and their plan B is kind of looking hopefully towards us, I guess,
in some way, shape, or form.
So we'll see what happens, but it'll be a little time before the RFA vote next year. In the meantime, hopefully, for the sake of the cities, they'll get those new stations, because it's been quite a while since both the downtown stations were built in Camas and Washougal. Chief, did you have anything to add?
Only that we saw a picture of the mayor's dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Washougal mayor.
Oh. Mayor Stevie.
Yeah.
Dog.
Showed us his secret weapon.
Secret weapon for getting votes.
A puppy.
Was it a puppy?
A puppy. Yeah.
I was figuring that the mayor would have been like a German Shepherd or a Malinois, but it was,
yeah.
Was it a particular kind of dog, or was it just
it was kind of a floppy ear?
Just a floppy eared fuzzy dog, yeah.
Nice dog.
It looks like our next City of Camas meeting is October 22nd, and I'm not sure when the fourth quarter Washougal meeting is. And it might not be nailed down yet. But so you're on for that one.
October 22nd or the next Washougal?
Both. Next Camas is October 22nd here at 3. And then we'll nail down Washougal.
Good.
It's pretty laid back, and it's also informative.
Looking forward to it.
And at that point, I don't know about October 22nd, but maybe we'll have some news on what the RFA committees have come up with by then.
We shall see.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Risk group. Commissioner Taggart, anything on risk group?
Negative. Haven't heard anything. We got to wait until it's 2 or 3 days before the meeting before we hear something.
Yeah. Are you on the email list yet?
Yes, I'm on the email list.
All right. Great. And then, no, to my knowledge, next meeting scheduled for the East County Ambulance Advisory Board. And do you know anything about that, Chief?
Nope.
That's still TBA. And then safety meeting, we've got one coming up on September 25th, and we had one July 23rd?
Yes.
Any particular impressions from that?
From that last meeting? Oh, we talked about hydration, how important that is, and be real extra careful now with school kids going back to school on the roads. And no incidences of injury, which was lovely. That's about it. Anything else, Chief Pickers?
Well, the other thing we discussed was that broken mirror incident with 10 or 93 that happened on Vernon Road. But that was basically an unavoidable situation.
Yeah.
All right. As the folks from the school district said, They called us and said, we understand one of our school buses attacked your water tender.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
Jumped out and grabbed
We have a witness in the car.
Yeah.
I was the driver.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I saw that bus coming at you.
Yeah, wow.
It's a very tight road.
You see, yeah. How better was it actually? Ping in it?
No, so we were going to Skamania for a structure fire, and we were going downhill as they were going uphill. So I got the water tender to a crawl, and I was hugging the fog line.
Yeah.
As much as I could without taking the tender off-road, because that's not a good day. And that happens. So, they were a little bit closer to the center line, and their mirror clapped with my mirror, and it didn't actually, structurally ruin the brackets or anything. It just folded the mirror in towards the cab, and then I had the window rolled down, and it blew the mirror into the cab like a claymore. Like it just sprayed us with glass.
Oh, jeez.
But no serious injuries, just some minor scratches and what have you. So,
gosh.
But we made it to the fire. We gave them some water and made it home and cleaned it up. And it, we actually made it look really nice inside afterwards. We needed to clean up.
Thanks. All right. Time for commissioner comments. So I'll start with Commissioner Taggart, since he's online.
Nothing this evening. Happy to be part of this group. I'm longing to be there with you guys.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We miss you, having you in person. Commissioner Martin, any comments?
Just a reminder that for those of us that aren't going to the conference in October, the SNR seminar is online, so if you want to get your updates on the laws, which there's always some. It's amazing how rapidly they change.
If you want to get SNRed.
Yeah.
So I already sent Debbie an email letting her know I wanted to register for the webinar, because I'm not going to the conference. It's in Spokane. Are you going to go, too?
I'm going to go for 2 days.
2 days? What?
I can't go to the Wednesday one, but that's I'll go Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just letting you guys know that it's happening if you want to get registered for that. It's kind of separate from the conference, is why I bring it up.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Martin. Commissioner Hoffmaster?
I don't really have any comment to make, but thank you very much.
Commissioner Addis?
Nothing immediately, unless I'm directly related, but with work recently, I've been assisting one of my colleagues in going to some areas that were affected by the fires in 2020 in Clackamas, and some of the forest restoration work happening on damage with that. So just getting to deal with the post effects of fire and all the logistics and expenses. Yeah.
Especially east of the Cascades, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a bad time when they stopped reporting the fire size in acres and they reported square miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, as for me, we drove through eastern Oregon in early July visiting my parents in southwest Idaho, and I think we got back just in time, just before all the fires along I-84 blew up. So we got stopped overnight in Baker City with some car trouble, and I was part of my brain, I was thinking, oh, we're going to end up stuck here for longer than overnight if a bunch of fires start popping off. But we did get back. Progress continues to be made state by state and nationally on firefighter safety on perfluorinated compounds. PFAS, now Alaska has outlawed PFAS in firefighting foams to be phased in over the next year or two. And with a fund to help villages that are not connected by road to reimburse them for disposal costs. So for a state as fiscally conservative as Alaska, it's a pretty big step. Went through the legislature in a bipartisan way, and the governor just declined to sign it for some reason, but it sat there until it went into effect. And so Alaska's moving in the same direction as Washington, despite fairly different electorates in terms of making things safer for groundwater and for firefighters. And there's a lot of research going on at the moment in terms of turnouts, so hopefully we'll get safer turnouts for people as time goes on. My other comment is the fire danger sign at Station 93 is wildly inaccurate. It says that we're at level one, very low. And I'm pretty sure if I sneeze too close to the grass in my yard, the air friction's going to light it ablaze.
See if I can fix that on my way home. I'm surprised the DNR guys have.
Yeah, I know it's DNR's responsibility usually, and they are like right there. So I'm kind of surprised. But yeah, it's the big, nice green with the one, and I just makes me want to set off fireworks. But all the other surrounding data tells me that that's a bad idea. So I don't know. We should check
if
on
not,
that.
If not tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah, all right. And that's all I have. So second opportunity for public comment if there's anyone online or in the room that wants to make comment. And hearing none, then local board for volunteer firefighters and reserve officers. Anything on that, Chief?
Nope.
Okay. Well, the little meeting's open and shut then. Upcoming meetings, we've got our monthly event calendar on the back of the packet. Our commissioner staff workshop meeting is this Thursday, August 8th here at 91 at 3 p.m. And then our next regular board meeting is August 20th at 6:30 p.m. also here at Station 91. And it looks like tonight we have an executive session under RCW 42.30.140, Section 4, Subsection A. Collective bargaining sessions with employer organizations, including contract negotiations, grievance meetings, and discussions related to the interpretation or application of a labor agreement, or subsection B, that portion of a meeting during which the governing body is planning or adopting the strategy or position to be taken by the governing body during the course of any collective bargaining, professional negotiations, or grievance or mediation proceedings, or reviewing the proposals made in the negotiations or proceedings while in progress. About how much time do you figure we'll need, Chief? 15
minutes. 15? I've got an update on comparables and then a short update on our last bargaining session.
Okay. So 15 minutes. Let's start the exec session at 19:15 so we get time to move, and then we'll should be done at 19:30 if it is 15 minutes. And Commissioner Taggart, do you want us to give you a call on a cell phone? All right, we are back from executive session. No action to be taken tonight. And if nothing else on the agenda, I would call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Commissioner Taggart had the motion. Commissioner Martin had the second. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 We are adjourned.